Well, it's good to have you with us tonight. You know, before the world began, before man was created, God knew on this first day of June, on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, exactly where you'd be and who would be here in this service. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. There is not anything that you and I can come up with that he is not very much aware of. He's very much aware of our situation. He's very much aware of every little minute detail in our life. He's all-powerful, and he loves us beyond any shadow of reason that you and I can possibly think of. Loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross for our sin. He has a wonderful and marvelous plan for us. The Bible says it's a good plan, that it's good. God's thoughts of us are good and marvelous. And they're huge. They're big. He created the universe, so he does things in a big way. And he wants to do big things in our life, I am totally convinced. Bigger than ourselves. Bigger than what you and I can plan or do on our own. He wants to do greater than that. You know, if we can do it ourselves, then God wouldn't need to do it. if we can plan it and then carry it out without his help, then he's of no use to us. I don't know any other way to say that. But that's not the way he wants to operate in our lives. He wants to operate in a big, magnificent way. We're studying this book of Romans, and if I could pick out just one word that would summarize the book of Romans, it's righteousness. It's God's righteousness. He always does the right thing, and he is righteous. And we are not righteous, and so we desperately need him in our lives. There's just absolutely no way that we can save ourselves. And I don't know, I've just come to a new appreciation of that in the last couple of years, that I cannot save myself. And there's not anything in me that's worth saving, but God loved me so much that he sent his son to die for my sin. And I am convinced that he loves me. And that is so important to me. I don't know if you've come to grips with that. Most of you are your Facebook addicts. Someone said that Mike Dishron was a Facebook stalker. He doesn't post things. Terry is. She's explaining to him to mind his own business, and she will mind hers. I look at it, so I guess I'm a stalker. And some reason the computer in my office is fouled up on Facebook, and I don't get anything new on it. And I was able to look at some of that last night, and I had some stuff on there from 2012 that I had not looked at. One guy wanted me to buy his book, and so now it won't do any good. It's an old hat now, but. But don't you love it when some of your kids or someone posts something good about you? They say something good about you. They love you. They love you, and they say that. And I remember not it's within the last year. I took one of my girls on a horseback ride, and she put some pictures of that on Facebook, and she said, "I love this man." And that has meant so much to me. I mean, just those few words, and I thought, boy, this makes me feel so good, you know, just for my kids to tell me that they love me. Well, you know, I have a God that loves me beyond anything that I can possibly imagine. And we're going to look into the depths of this book tonight and see how much God's ways are so much different than our ways. You know, I'll just have something all planned out the way that I expect him to do it. Now, God, you could do it this way. This is, and he never does it that way. His ways are different than our ways. And so, you know, we can leave our life in his hands. We can leave our life in his hands and totally trust him. But guess what, parents? We can leave the life of our children and our grandchildren in his hands and totally trust him. Well, can't we? Amen. We can. We can. Let's look at these verses. We've already looked at them this morning, but you can't get enough of Romans. Let's stand together and start with verse 8, chapter 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And he didn't leave anyone out, did he? When Paul is thanking God for the church, he thanked the Lord for every one of them. Because he's going to, as he works his way down through this chapter, he's going to tell them how important they are to him. How much he loves them. And how much he expects to receive from them in a spiritual way. And what he expects them to receive from him. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now remember, back in the first part of this, Paul said, I've been taken to the door, holes been driven through my ear. Now he didn't say it like that. But he said, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And I'm serving him out of love. Not because I have to, but because I love him. And I want to serve him. I tell you folks, we need to fall in love with Jesus. And never move from that spot. Because he loves us so much. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey. And we're going to continue with the prosperous journey tonight, talking about Paul's journey to Rome by the will of God to come unto you. Now he knows that it's God's will. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. That I want to share with you the gift that God shared with me, the ability to share the gospel, perhaps, is what Paul is talking about. To be able to take the Old Testament, the Word of God, and bring those folks who knew the Word of God right up to Jesus Christ and to prove to them and show them Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They already knew that. They'd already accepted it. But he was going to reaffirm that, perhaps, in their lives. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, get your feet solid on the rock. That is, that I may be comforted together with you, or in you, by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, everyone, no matter who they are or what their status in life, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You may be seated. In Acts, the 23rd chapter, I'd like for you to turn to that with me, Acts 23, and look at verse 11. Acts 23, way over here. I'll get to it one of these days. And look at verse 11. And if you have a red letter edition Bible, this portion of this verse anyway is in the red letter. That means Jesus is the one that is doing the talking. And so here we understand that Jesus does speak to us, and he spoke to Paul here. And this is what had taken place. Look up at verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Paul said, I was praying that I could go to Rome. And here in 23rd chapter of Acts, Jesus has told Paul, you're going to go to Rome, Paul. So you just relax in that. Maybe Paul just kept on praying that prayer. And now God affirms through Jesus' words to Paul that Paul is going to go to Rome. But there is something odd here about his trip. Now, we talked about this morning. I want us to look further into it tonight. But Paul was never really free, or maybe he was. Maybe being in prison doesn't necessarily make us a prisoner, do you think? But as far as being under someone else's control, Paul was never free after that. Never. He was always someone else was calling the shots. But understand this, that there was someone way above them that was calling the shots, that was moving them just like a chessboard. God was moving them in the direction that He wanted them to go. The Bible said the heart of the king's in the hands of the Lord. And like rivers of water, He moves it about the way that He would have it to go. And I want to tell you, dear friend, that when we put ourselves within the will of God, when we just sink ourselves into His will, remember the definition of the slave earlier, last week, the definition of the slave, the true slave, the one that was slaving out of love, that his will was lost in the will of the master. Boy, I love that. That his will is lost in the will of the master. And folks, I want more than anything else, I want my will to be lost in the will of the Lord. Now, I know I'm not there. I'm not there, but I want to be in that place. I don't even know that my will is there. I don't even know if that my desire is where it ought to be. And I say that's where I want to be. But I'm telling you, that's the place I should be. That's the place that I'm to be, is that my will is to be swallowed up in the will of the Lord. As you look on down in that same chapter, Acts 23, look at verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priest and elders and said, we've bound ourselves under a great curse, a great vow, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Bet them boys got hungry, don't you? I'm telling you, dear friend, that we're bulletproof until God decides. It didn't matter what kind of vow they had made. It didn't matter what they had decided. God is in charge. And it's true in your life and in my life. The thing is that we've got to get ourselves in the place where Paul was. We've got to get ourselves in the place of surrender where Paul was in order to do what God wants us to do. He's brought before Felix, and then before Festus, and then before Agrippa. And I looked at this passage again in Acts 26. Look at verse 27. And King Agrippa, and he's talking to Agrippa now. He's witnessing to him. He's preaching to him. And you look back at all those places where they took Paul, and everywhere he ended up, he's preaching to them. He's sharing the gospel. I don't remember the man's name, but he was born without legs or arms. You all know who I'm talking about. He was Manny has a great testimony. And did y'all did y'all see the deal where he was on the Winfrey Oprah show?
He brought the gospel, didn't he?
He brought the gospel, didn't he? I mean, he went up those steps and he just started, and it sounded just like Paul, didn't it? Man, he just started preaching. and sharing the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus. And you know, without any arms and without any legs, but he's not bound, is he? He's not hindered because he shares the gospel everywhere that he goes. And he was sharing the gospel there. And so Paul's sharing the gospel with Agrippa. And he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. Probably wasn't in the room by himself, was he? And everyone that's within my hearing, everyone that's within the hearing of my voice, Paul said, everyone that's heard me this day, we're both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. But you see, God had another plan. God had another plan. When Paul said, I appeal to Caesar, maybe Paul thought, now if I do this, I'll never be free. Probably not. But God used that, those few words in Paul's life, to bring him to Rome, where God had planned for his life. He's in chapter 27, Paul sails for Rome, but as a prisoner. And the ship crashes, of course, and you know the story, how he landed on the island and the snake. He was gathering up wood to put on the fire. They were all cold. They were all wet. And a viper, a deadly viper, one that would, had he bit a normal person, would have died. But he came out of the sticks or the fire, and he latched on to Paul's hand. Paul just slung him back in the fire, and they all watched to see that he's going to fall down dead. But he didn't, because God's hand was on him. God had a purpose in his life, and God has a purpose in your life and in my life when we are surrendered to him. Paul gives a record of his sufferings as an apostle in 2 Corinthians. I want you to look at that with me. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. One of my favorite radio speakers is not Joel Osteen. One of my favorite radio speakers is... I'll think of it here. I'm just grabbing for time. David Jeremiah. David Jeremiah. And David Jeremiah went through a terrible bout with cancer. And he was explaining how difficult that was. And he said they had given him so much chemotherapy that he said they just... You know, they just brought his body down to nothing. And he said, I was just in the throes of death. He said, things were so bad. And he said, folks were sending me cards where they'd prayed for me. And he said, this one guy sends me this card. And he said, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through verse 33 was written inside the card. And this is what it says. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. On journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artius, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And then at the end of that summary of all that Paul had gone through, the writer of the card to David Jeremiah said, "And so how's your day going?" We can complain about a lot of things, but God is on our side. Look at verse 11 and verse 12 of Romans 1. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. This that would set your feet upon a solid rock. And in verse 12, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. In the church, we are to be supporting one another. We are to be making one another a success in our ministry, in the things that we do, in praying for one another, lifting one another up. Every person in the church has an important job, but no one has a more important part than someone else. Every person's part is important. Look at chapter 12 of the book of Romans. And look at verse 3. Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong. Here we go. Verse 3. That didn't look right. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, talking about our physical body here, we've got hands and feet and eyes and all those things that are important to us. Having then, let's see, where did I get to? Members, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, him that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. That word, big old word there, means hypocrisy. Don't do it as a hypocrite. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, look at verse 10. You remember what Paul said there in that verse? God's given me a gift, I want to minister that gift to you. In verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. that you use that, that God has given you in the church to bring about growth in the lives of other people. And every person here has a gift that God's given them. I think that I could spend a little time around you and figure out what your gift is. And I think you could spend some time around me and figure out what mine is. But that gift that God has given you by the power of the Holy Spirit is to be ministered in the lives of other people in the church. When Gwen and I were in college, we college students are always looking for a place to hang out, and our house seemed to be a good place because Gwen was a good hand to make cookies, and we had quite a few college students over, and we were involved in a new work, starting a church out from Pocahontas, and so we had quite a few college students that would come and visit us and spend time at our house, and we was having some kind of get together there at the house, and I got the guitar out, and we sang some, and there was a kid that just started the school there, and he asked me if he could play my guitar, and we was all sitting around the room, and I said, well, sure, and I thought, boy, this guy's going to. He's going to show us what for. He's probably a real hand. And I gave him the guitar. And Brother Matt, he never made a chord. He just beat the far out of that guitar, but he never got his fingers in any kind of position that was any kind of chord or anything. He was just grabbing and slinging and everybody was just looking at one another about like, what in the world have we got into here? His gift was not playing the guitar. He was all mixed up on what his gift was. But you know, I know God had a gift for him. And he's got one for you. And it may not be to play the guitar. But God has given you a gift to minister in the church. And man, don't waste that. Don't waste that. Use that in the church the way that God meant for you to use it. We're going to give an invitation tonight. Brother Matt will come and I'll give you an opportunity to come. Let's stand together. If God's dealing with your heart, make a decision for the Lord. Come right now, whatever it is. Maybe it's to be saved. You've not been saved yet. You want to be saved. Is to give your heart to Jesus or become a member of the church or follow the Lord in believers' baptism or recommit your life to the Lord. We'll give you an opportunity to do that right now. As we sing, you come.